So this is the very first podcast of the we're calling it the first person podcast simulator.
This is the first person blog simulator, and this is the podcast of the first person blog simulator. So this is the first person podcast
simulator.
Because
we are
simulator.
Just the most clever.
We want to confuse our listeners, is
yeah,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, so you know, you just can't find anything.
If you are incredibly confused, if you're driving and you now are lost, we've
good.
Done our job.
Yeah, that's pretty much where we are,
then
too.
Good.
Yeah.
You
good.
Stay in that corner.
Yeah,
field.
You deserve that.
Yes.
Okay, so today is Sunday, February 24th, is that right?
That is right.
Cool. And we are going to be talking about all the shit that happened last week, which is, quite frankly, a lot of
it's
stuff.
A lot. It's a big pile.
Like, we had an idea that we were going to, like, start this, like, roughly in a week or 2 weeks, and...
Suddenly.
All of this stuff just fell into our lap. You know, we have the PS4, we have Google Glass, we have a couple of game announcements, we have a lot of stuff to talk about, so...
It was a sign.
I think... Yeah, oh, well, we should probably tell our names. I am Zach Bruin, and joining me is...
Mike Egan.
Yes. Cool. So, formalities all the way, name's done. Cool. So...
Yes.
Yeah, so the PS4, you said yourself that you didn't catch a whole lot of the footage, but I'm sure you've been reading a lot of things.
I have, yeah, I've been reading a lot about it. There were live blogs, and they just put out articles for each big thing that they said, so I've been reading some of those.
Right. Your general feel, I know you don't own a PS3. I don't know if you've ever really dabbled in PS2 at all.
No.
So, I mean, that's interesting. So, from, like, a sort of outsider seeing this mm-hmm. console, like, happening, how do you feel about what's going on?
Yeah, like, I've never been a console purchaser just because of, like, lack of money.
Or yeah.
Maybe lack of parents' love. I don't know. Maybe that's something I have to look into later.
So,
I don't know.
We'll have to... Maybe we'll do an interview with them later about
maybe
that.
Maybe we won't.
Why don't you love your son?
That's a topic for another podcast. Yeah. But I've always been like more of a PC gamer just because a PC was something that I had for mm-hmm. other things, and so I got games for that. But looking at the PS4 at this press conference that seemed maybe kind of thrown together is what I heard.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was just the tech people being used to more polished experiences. But I actually got excited. You know, there were a lot of cool-looking games. There was... stuff that I was expecting to see. I was expecting that, like, for example, I saw Watch Dogs at E3 mm-hmm. this past E3, and I was like, there's no way that is built just for the current generation of consoles. That's going to be on the next gen.
Yeah, there's this weird, like, the last year has just been this strange cusp where everyone's kind of like... we're just all kind of, like, waiting for some, like,
yeah.
sign of next generation stuff. I mean, there's the Wii U, but, you know, Nintendo always releases their stuff, like, a bit early, because I guess that's how they're successful. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's how they're successful. They're trying to replicate the Wii. We talked about that before. But, I mean, yeah, I'm equally excited, but I've also got a little bit of... not so much trepidation, but I'm waiting to see this stuff more implemented. I mean, it's one mm-hmm. thing to throw it up on a screen and talk about it, but... especially right now, there's so many different aspects of different systems working with, like,
right.
you know, consoles or PCs or games or software in general that, like, one or two things that they don't consider, and there goes your idea. It's fucked,
mm-hmm.
it's done, and, like, people remember it as, oh, like, they highlighted this at this conference, and they gave us dog shit. And that happens all the time, especially because, you know, gamers are so, like, stingy, and
yeah.
that's... Yeah, I'm worried about that happening, but... Beyond that, excited for what I've been seeing. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. Sony's pushing big for social stuff. That's
oh yeah.
That
I
was...
mean, the controller has a share button.
Yes.
on it,
which is a really that's a good idea.
Yeah,
I mean,
it is. What I like about that though is they're integrating with like Ustream. Like they're playing big into people like to watch Let's Plays online. People like to watch live streams of games.
Yeah, and people like to watch their friends over their shoulder. And
yes.
It's just a good idea. I mean,
why don't we
no
put that
gonna,
in the console?
Yeah, no one's gonna be. I mean, unless you're a person on Ustream, like I guess already making money off of that. There's a chance for there to be more competition, which I thought about.
Yeah, because it's basically all PC people right now, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, it's PC people or like people who
That's...
have the money to stream like their console stuff.
Right.
Onto yeah.
But the PC is like the easiest
yes.
avenue onto
yeah.
Ustream. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you don't really. Need that much equipment for that. I think as
yeah.
long as you have like a decent mic, I think it just picks up your screen stuff. So yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's interesting. And it's
yeah.
one of those things that I think everyone can just kind of agree on. It's like, yeah, that's, that's probably a good idea. I hope it's implemented in the right way.
I know, yeah. That's something I wanted to talk about. But I think that's going to be good for the PS4. I think it's going to be good for Sony, and I think it's going to be good for Ustream because of more content. Because Ustream right now is basically all Minecraft and StarCraft.
Yes.
And some League of Legends is a big part of that, too. But there's a lot of other games. People sometimes play, you know, Super Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the majority is these PC games that everybody plays and watches. And now maybe, you know, we'll have more other things.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, it is exciting. Again, hopefully they do it in a correct way. I mean, we know the hardware is there. It's just a matter of if, you know, they're...
Is it, though?
Well...
That's the next thing I want to say.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean... Yeah, well, go ahead.
Okay, so everybody, or a lot of the people, sorry, I hit the mic, I don't know if that'll be picked up. A lot of the people...
Whatever.
A lot of the people that I saw reacting to the press conference were saying, oh, the box isn't there, where's the box? And like, that's kind of a stupid thing to say, because, spoiler alert, it's going to be a black rectangle, and it'll fit on a shelf. You know, you don't really have to see what it looks like. But there's kind of a good point, because it's all sort of... I don't want to call it vaporware because that means, you know, it's...
People are going to be pretty surprised when it's actually just a swarm of nano machines.
Yes, I'm trying to say. No, but it's all foggy. And, like, Sony put out a press release that detailed all of the things that they talked about. And, like, after each of their statements, it said, this is part of our vision going forward. So nothing's really set.
Right, and,
like,
okay.
It's all still really being developed. There's no actual hardware that exists. And...
Okay, yeah, I can understand a little bit more. Because if it was something as simple as, oh, like, oh, we didn't see the box, like, fuck, so?
That's
yeah,
stupid,
all right,
yeah.
Yeah, but if Sony's being a little bit wavery with how they, with what they're saying, like what you say, like, this is our vision, then that's a different story.
That leads to a larger thing of the box isn't there figuratively rather than literally.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really good way to put it. Yeah. There was the old man face. Old man face is going around a little bit.
The tech demo.
Yes. Did look really good.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Oh, but on that, this is something that I wanted to mention. I watched the stream two different times. I watched it through, like, some site that was doing, like, a redo of this stream, like, over and over, over, like, a couple of days or something.
Yeah.
And that was fine. The quality was good. But then I, last night, went to YouTube because I wanted to, like, go to the moment where I was in the stream as opposed to, like, pick up at some spot where there's mm-hmm. a chunk of, like, stuff missing that I didn't see.
Yeah.
And it could have been the quality, but they showed some footage of, I think, the new Killzone game.
Right.
And while it does look good, I'm cautious to say that maybe the further that this technology is going, the less that we are able to see an improvement in, like, how things actually mm-hmm. look.
I think that's fair.
I mean, and that's that might be a little bit silly to say, because that's always how it's been for, like, the last 20 or 30 years. Like,
yeah.
The demos have only been getting better. Like, I saw this really cool... It was this big, like, time-lapse, like, two-hour video of all of, like, the, like, NVIDIA's tech demos over, the last 20 years. And it was really cool, like, just skipping around and seeing how, like, stuff like that progressed. But, mm-hmm. like... Sure, Killzone looked a little bit better, and again, it could have been the YouTube quality, but not that much better.
Yeah, I think Killzone is maybe not the best game to judge whether or not the graphics have improved.
That could be.
I mean, it's Killzone. It's just the same as the last Killzone. Meet the new Killzone, same as the last Killzone.
Hello, Killzone. How are you? I've met your other friend, Killzone.
Yes.
I
mean, it's basically the same thing. Shoot guys with red eyes in the face.
Yeah, pretty much. The setting, though, is very interesting looking. It does look like this very futuristic sort of environment. Not that I'm not getting a PS4 anytime, but I'm just like the environment that they placed it in was very cool looking. So design wise, that was pretty good. But this leads me to another idea that what I would love to happen in the future, and like I feel like some tech heads might totally disagree with me on this, but I would love it for if like the technology got pushed so far to where like we couldn't really differentiate what like looked really really good, like we hit a limit to what really looked good, and then people were like, oh well, let's start playing around with styles.
Mm-hmm.
I would bathe in that idea.
I think we're seeing a little bit of that,
yeah,
but maybe not to such a large degree that, you know, we stop working on just quality of
yeah,
the image.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I think we're definitely still on the push toward photorealism.
Yeah,
we're going to try as hard as we can.
Yeah, realistically, I don't think that push for, like, the best tech will ever go away. It's just,
yeah.
Ideally, what I would love to happen is, like, okay, this is as far as we can go. Now, let's start going, instead of, like, pushing forward, pushing sideways and try and, like,
yeah.
find different, like, styles and different, like, I would, that's just something that I would like. It's probably not
it's
really.
An interesting thought. Yeah. Like, yeah. there's things like, Team Fortress 2, I think is, you know,
it's a pretty good example.
I love their art style, and, like, it's not photorealism, but it still looks really cool, and, like, it's, how old is that game? It's, like.
That's got to be pushing a decade.
Yeah.
That's really close to, I think.
And
that's,
it still looks pretty good, you know, you can run it on.
Actually, that's kind of funny, because I'm looking at the Zelda poster that you have right behind you, and that reminds me of Wind Waker. Like, a lot of cel-shaded games always look good. Like,
yeah.
You look back at Wind Waker now, and it still looks really, really good. That game is over a decade old, or it's close. It's another one. I'm pretty sure it's pretty close.
Yeah.
And that game still looks really good, and that's kind of astonishing, because that doesn't usually happen with games, but with, like, cel-shading and stuff, that... Borderlands a little bit too, the first one. That's obviously not quite as old, but that still, like, it still holds.
Yeah.
It's interesting to think about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there are things like the Source Engine that are really starting to show their age.
Yeah.
Like, when you go back and play Half-Life 2, you're like, this was so amazing, but what are all those pixels?
Yeah, yeah.
So, also, you mentioned Wind Waker HD remake for the Wii U. Is happening.
Yes. And from what I've been seeing, a lot of people are having mixed feelings because a lot of people love Wind Waker. Like, the people who really, like, there are obviously some people who don't really dig it so much. That's totally fine, whatever. But the people who love Wind Waker fucking love Wind Waker.
Yeah.
Like, that's a common bond I've seen amongst them. And a lot of them are like, I don't know if they're so much conflicted about the HD remake because it does look really pretty.
It does, yeah.
Maybe, I don't know how, like, stuff like that's generated, so I don't know if some people are a little bit cynical and saying, oh, like, they just, like, brightened it up or, like, put more bloom on it or something like that. I don't know that stuff, but I think most people are completely just like, oh, that's awesome, but I'm not going to buy a Wii U for it. Or they're on that cusp, and it's like, should I buy a Wii U for this because I love that game so much?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to push anybody to buy a Wii U.
Yeah, I mean,
this is Nintendo's way of saying, hey, look, Zelda games are still happening. And this is the placeholder Zelda game before they make the actual HD Wii U Zelda game, which is, like, basically what they've said. Like, we're making an HD Zelda game, but in the meantime, here's this thing.
Yeah.
That's HD now.
Yeah. I feel like that's... I'm in this weird place, because I mean, you know me, I think almost every Nintendo... not, like, every Nintendo console. I don't have, like, the reiterations of, like, the Game Boy and stuff. I don't have, like, an original Famicom from
You don't
Japan.
Have the Virtual Boy? What about the Virtual Boy?
I like how I get mad about that for everyone to bring up. As though I was there, like, getting really, really psyched for the Virtual Boy, and I was really let down by it. No, I don't know. No, I do not own a Virtual Boy, but that probably wouldn't be the worst thing, just to have it as a novelty. But I grew up with Nintendo, so to speak. I mean, the first few consoles I played were the Nintendo and the Super Nintendo, and those were great. That was what I was raised on. But I'm getting to this point where it was wavering a bit with the Wii, and now that that's passed, it's a console that's gathering dust, and that's worrisome, and that makes me less wanting to. Spend money on the Wii U, but I feel like what's happening is that Nintendo's like going, it's like, oh, hey, Zach, how's it going? So, I know you're not too sold on this, but there's Pikmin 3, whatever. There's Yoshi's Epic Yarn, which might actually be the name of that, but that's definitely what it is.
Yeah.
And I loved Kirby's Epic Yarn. Me and Dave played that, and it was fantastic.
Nice.
Really good experience. It's like, yeah, oh, and to top it off, here's an HD remake of one of your favorite Zelda games ever. So, you know, you don't have to buy it, but I'm conflicted, because I don't want to invest more money into a box that's just going to collect dust.
Yeah.
So I don't know how I feel about this. I guess I feel menaced by Nintendo. How dare they?
Did they touch you? Where did they touch you, Zach?
Three to the fifth? Is that
how
that works?
Thumbs? Was it the thumbs over the ears? I don't know where this is going. This is weird now.
Anyway, was there any other PS4 stuff? Was there anything else to mention?
We somehow got to the Wii U.
Branching out to indie game developers and developers in general.
Yes.
That's another cool thing. Because
Blizzard.
Yeah.
Blizzard was at a console launch. Well, no, it wasn't a launch. Don't call it a launch.
Well, yeah. But it, I guess announcement. I mean, less excited about. I've fallen out of love with Blizzard. I mean, I played like Diablo 2 and StarCraft a lot as a kid, but.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not huge into Blizzard games, but it was still kind of weird and crazy that like a PC developer who is huge on the PC and beloved on the PC was like at a console announcement.
Yeah, it'll be something. I feel like they're one of those. I can't say they're like the equivalent to Activision, but they're just as like rolling and like Scrooge McDuck diving into your like vault of gold, the balloons, fucking like that's where they're at right now. And
yeah,
I don't know. They just don't seem to be putting out as much as I feel like as a company that's making that much money.
They don't put out a lot of games, no. But they put out
I guess the ones that they do
few good games.
Yeah. Which I mean is. Fine. I mean, who am I to say? But Valve. I don't know. I've distanced myself from Blizzard a little
Valve.
Bit.
Valve.
Oh,
you want to talk about Half-Life 3, Zach?
What is there to talk about? Do you know something that we don't? Has there been news in the last week that we don't know about that?
I don't want to say anything, but I hear that Half-Life 3 may exist eventually.
Is that May? It's dropping in May of this year.
Oh, did I say May? It June exists eventually? Nope. I'm saying that wrong.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah, but the indie game and, like, the regular developers for the PS4, because I remember, I don't know where I heard this, but I've heard people complain that the PS3, the way it was set up, I don't know if it's software or hardware bit-wise, but it was just a bitch and a half to design from a game designer standpoint, and it's nice that they've kind of acknowledged that, I think. Again, that's just the sort of, like, in the ether kind of thing, and we don't know if it's going to really come to fruition and really be like for the developers, but I'm hoping that, you know, it would be nice to...
There were a lot of developers there at the event, like in the crowd, and just like a bunch of them came on stage, you know. And who was there? Jonathan Blow.
Yes.
Who made Braid was there, and his next is it going to be exclusive to the PS4? I don't remember if it was.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be dumb if it was though. I feel like if it was you know, PS4 and Steam, that's probably the best way to go.
Yeah.
But sorry, excuse me. I mean, yeah, that was really interesting because it's so interesting that indie developers are because they've been recognized for a while, obviously, because you know the
because they've had to be.
Well, yes, because they've made good games and they've had to be, but to get one up on stage at a Sony event, that's something. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this
was different from an E3 event.
Yes.
Where it was like, oh, we're going to have a little bit of everybody come up here. This was like, our console is going to exist now, and this is who we're working with big
time. Right, yeah. Just the actual gameplay for it?
I don't remember if we saw gameplay. I know there was some kind of video shown.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I mean, I started Braid, and I'm too stupid to keep playing Braid. I need to come back to it. No, I do need to finish Braid. But there was a point where, because like me and Mika were trying to play it together, my girlfriend Mika, and we just got to this point where it's like really, really frustrating. We couldn't figure out how to.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Yeah, it changes it up, and in a cool way. The way they change it up is cool, but it's so fucking hard to like. It's like they throw a brick of a learning curve at you. It's like, okay, so this is how the game works. Now this is how it works.
Yeah.
So I know that the ending's supposed to be good, which has been mildly spoiled for me a little bit. But still, I feel like it's... The ending of Fight Club was spoiled for me, but I still saw it, and I still liked it a lot. So that's sort of in the same vein. That is something I should finish, because, you know, Braid is the indie game of indie games.
Right.
But The Witness, though, it looks interesting specifically from its trailer. It looks to be in a very pretty environment-ish open-world puzzler.
Okay.
That sounds cool on paper. I hope that works out, and I'm sure it'll be a fine game, because you have Jonathan Blow and everything, but it's... I don't know if there are any other games that have really done that sort of thing, and that's that's interesting. So I hope that that works out.
Going back to the controller, there was the touchpad. It has a touchpad. Well,
we didn't mention the controller. I saw the segue you tried to pull in there.
That's forever ago.
Yeah. What do you think about the DualShock? I mean, you've handled like some PlayStation controllers in the past. What do you?
I like the PS3 controller. I'm surprised and a little disappointed to hear that the DualShock 3 won't work with the PS4.
Yeah.
And the touchpad is what I wanted to talk about. I don't think we saw a whole lot of what the touchpad can do.
No, I don't.
If anything.
Yeah, I don't really think there was any of that at all. I tried to like concoct what it could be used from. Like, if, mm-hmm. I mean, if there's a browser, maybe that could be like
sure.
a cursor or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, but
I don't see a whole lot else for it. I mean, it's the same thing that was on the back of the Vita.
Yeah.
And that makes sense because the Vita is a handheld.
Mm-hmm.
It's like here's
mm-hmm.
this thing that you know little mobile games or handheld games can. Take advantage of,
yes.
but on a big console, I don't see that. Like, it's
yeah,
a gimmick.
I hope it's not because who wants it to be a gimmick?
Right.
But I'm hoping that this could totally just not happen. But I'm hoping that somebody's just like, say what you want about the touchpad. It's like, don't worry, we've got a couple of titles that'll just you know make
yeah.
you so glad that we include it, and are like, we'll. You know, make good use of that in a way that isn't dumb and gimmicky and,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. I
hope so.
Yeah.
I mean, but that gets to a larger point of like, we live in an age where games come out, like it's not really Microsoft puts out a game or Sony puts out a game. It's like games come out, like developers are a thing now. It's not like
yeah.
so much of an in-house thing.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
it's like that would make sense if there were going to be a lot of proprietary games that were exclusive to the PS4, and I don't think we see a whole lot of exclusivity anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like it'll just be an add-on that's developed for, hey, here's this thing that's coming out for the games market, and also if you play it with the touchpad, you can do this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
Like the Wii U has, what was it, Arkham City Armored Edition? You can like have your items. Yeah, it's all very tacked on to existing games. If it's not developed like proprietarily for that, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, I heard something relating to games being developed for the Wii U. I never really thought from like a developer standpoint how Nintendo is probably really pushing for them to use their like their new gimmick and
Definitely.
How that's probably like Nintendo's strict as it is. Like I've read a couple things about how like their process goes, and they're a pretty strict company when it comes to
yeah.
their games because they want quality assurance. It's all fine and good, but then like you're tacking on, it's like, oh yeah, and by the way, you need to come up with a good way to innovate on this thing that is a touchpad, and it's
almost like two different platforms.
Yeah, almost. I mean, but it's hard to say because, like, neither of us have laid hands on a Wii U.
Right,
so,
yeah, that's
yeah.
full disclosure.
Yeah, but, that was PS4 talk. I don't know if there's really much. Was there anything else that you wanted to talk about that? Because
I don't think there was.
Yeah.
If you want to go into the specs, they talked a little bit about how it's, like, a custom PC
thing. I've heard people mentioning that it's, like, yeah, consoles are probably just going to be PCs
yeah.
soon, and I've heard some people have the idea that like consoles like in the last generation are just kind of like shitty PCs that
pretty
kind
much
of broke
yeah,
down
I mean,
a lot, and we're trying to do way too much.
Yeah.
Hopefully that changes. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, red ringing was a pretty frequent thing, and that's
yeah.
that just blows my mind. Like, you know, that's kind of just how the dice rolled with that, and Microsoft were like, yeah, well, yeah, that's and that.
A thing that happens.
Yeah, and that's crazy to me. So I hope that they keep that in mind when they're, you know, designing
That's another thing, is like, in the history of game consoles, like when you had the Super Nintendo, it wasn't a thing that people did to, like, go out and build a computer that could run, you know, the same things, and then run the same things. Like,
mm-hmm.
you can go out and build a computer for, like, $600 or $700,
right.
and it will run everything that the Xbox and the PlayStation can run.
Mm-hmm.
And like, why bother then?
Yeah, yeah. There's actually I don't know if this is like a new thing with the Destructive, but I knew that they had this recent thing. It was pretty close to the PS4 being announced and stuff. Where it's like, hey, build this PC for $600 that will
yeah.
definitely run these next gen games. I'm like, gee, that's.
I'm seeing those articles all over the place.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's really good. Yeah, I hope to. Do you want to talk about your PC that you recently built
bit? I'm super talented and amazing, and I built my own. No, I don't want to talk about it.
Okay, all right, fine, good. I guess.
but they are, you know, they're upgradable and customizable.
Yes.
Like, you can tailor it to what you want to do and your price range. Which you can't do with consoles,
mm-hmm.
but like then you can also run all of those games.
You saying that just makes me think about the whole. I don't want to call it a Steam box, but everyone's calling it a Steam box.
Even Valve is called a Steam box now.
I might as well fucking call it a Steam box then. That makes me interested because people have talked about how will that work exactly like a Steam box in your home. Like, what do they?
Yeah.
Because will it. How are you going to be able to adjust for newer games, pretty much?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, will there be, like, switchable hardware? I don't know.
I'm wondering the same thing. It seems like...
They're keeping it so shrouded really, really well.
Because it's Valve, and that's what they do.
Yes.
They're really good at keeping things shrouded. But it seems like it's basically going to be, like, a very compact, tiny PC, and you will be able to, like, swap out things if you want. That's the idea that I get in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's like... They're going to want it to be sort of a small and maybe iconic or identifiable box in your house,
mm-hmm.
so there'll be space limitations maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, when I sort of think about it, it does make sense, because there are plenty of people who, you know, hook up their towers to their HDTVs and just play through that. But, like, I'm thinking, if you had a box that was just, its sole purpose was to play Steam games, you know, it wouldn't be bogged down with all these other things that you need a regular PC to, like, you know, do stuff on the internet or run other kinds of software. If its sole purpose was just that, that's probably bringing the price point down a decent amount. And that's that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had that thought now.
When you look at... Steam now, and like the way that people can get games on their PCs, and then the fact that there is going to be a dedicated machine to do that, it's like, whoa, look at the games industry.
Yeah.
What happened to your games industry? Where's it going?
What game industry?
Yeah.
Sweep under the carpet. Where were we?
Steambox.
So, other big thing that will probably be changing the future that I just remembered. Google Glass.
Do you want to do that, or do you want to wait until we talk about handheld v mobile?
Yeah, let's do that after the handheld mobile thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
So handheld and mobile.
Yeah,
Handheld games.
You brought up the point that you said that... Did they give a time frame for...
It was the last quarter.
Last quarter? That... Okay, I can kind of... That's a little bit less surprising. So the thing is, last quarter that mobile games outsold handhelds.
Yes.
Which, you know what, that's not that weird to me, because, you know, look at the handhelds that you have. You've got Nintendo's 3DS. You've got the PlayStation Vita.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you might have some people still holding until they're like PlayStation Portable, their PSPs, I guess.
Yeah.
But no games are being made for those.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, what's on the 3DS, really? I mean, the most recent thing was Fire Emblem Awakening, which I've heard is great, which I've heard is good, but it's not that weird to see both Sony and Nintendo sort of just, like, throw out this handheld and, like,
mm-hmm.
give it some support, especially for Sony. They're really terrible at that.
Yeah, we're not seeing a whole lot of games to be excited about on those. There's not a whole lot of incentive to purchase those as consoles, and, like, I think... As the price of consoles maybe starts to come down and the price of handhelds starts to go up because, you know, they're doing so much more.
Right.
Why should I buy this thing that fits in my pocket? Like,
mm-hmm.
do I care that much?
Yeah.
And also, I already have my phone for that.
Yeah, I mean, there are more games coming out on mobile. Like, because I just got an iPod for Christmas, so I started to download some, like, pretty good games. And
yeah.
There's one game in particular called 10 Million that, like, everyone should get. I think it came out on Steam, like, a month ago.
I think I've heard of that.
Yeah, really? It's pretty good. I mean, it's the mechanic, it's one mechanic, and it's sort of like this bejeweled, like, RPG kind of thing. And it works really well, and it's, like, there's not really a story, but it's, like, sort of a minimalist, like, you kind of interpret what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a really good game. I liked playing that a lot, and I could see that kind of... being comparable to handheld stuff.
Sure, and I think it's also indicative of people being like, I'm on the go, and I've seen what, like, Angry Birds is. I want to do that rather than try to, you know, do the next big thing in this handheld game, which is essentially a game, you know? It's like, I think there's a split between what a mobile game is and what a bigger game is, maybe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
like,
it's the difference between, you know, Because, I mean, you know, if you happen to catch, like, your grocery store line at the wrong time and you're behind, like, five people, you just take out your phone or your iPod or whatever, just, you know, start playing whatever. Start playing Words with Friends with your friends or something like
that.
And it's so much simpler as opposed to, like, you know, taking maybe a Nintendo, like, 3DS or a DS just out of your pocket, booting it up, selecting the game, waiting for the game to load, selecting your save state, and then, like, remembering where you were in that game.
Because those games work like games.
Yes.
Whereas mobile games are just like, hey, here's a thing you can do, and you don't have to worry about it too much.
Yeah.
Like, even if you're on a commute, Sword and Sorcery, which I am. Perfect. I drive, so it's dangerous if I play mobile games on my commute.
I think you're just not trying hard enough.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I need to multitask. But, like...
It's going to turn into a one-man podcast soon.
We'll see. If I start trying harder, be in a ditch somewhere. But like Sword and Sorcery, you know, that's sort of cut into chunks. They say like, hey, this next chunk is going to take like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they let you know ahead of time how long it's going to take.
Yeah.
And then they force you out of the game, kind of.
Yeah, you're right. It was interesting for me because I played it on Steam, actually, so I didn't get the full, like, sort of mobile thing that they were doing. And I'm sure, you know, I'm absolutely certain that it was so much cooler because of your ability to tweet the all the lines of dialogue. I'm sure, like, now that I'm thinking about it, that totally makes sense for being on mobile and being on phones.
Right,
like, that was such a good way to promote that game, too. The dialogue in that game is some of the best I've seen in a while. So
really good game that I have not beaten still.
What?
I have it on Steam, and I have it on my Android
device. And you just said it doesn't even take that long. It's not that long of a game. You should finish that.
I should.
I have a lot of games I need to finish, too.
Yeah.
I think we're in this weird point where hopefully that will be a heads up to developers, because like even Nintendo Nintendo doesn't recognize, stubbornly does not recognize Apple as like a competitor. I know that might just be a cultural sort of thing, but there's no way that I believe that. There has to be someone at Nintendo who like realizes that like these are a major competitor. Maybe they're just not saying anything.
But I mean, like, it's for publishers like Nintendo and Sony and Microsoft. It's got to be weird because like that's not what they're used to doing. They're used to making something for this big box with a controller attached to it. And how do you adapt that to a piece of glass that you're touching with your finger?
Yeah. But I almost wonder if it'll be more of a sort of adapting the way that you oversee your handheld titles and converting that into more how mobile games sort of function. I wonder if that'll... I sort of hope that that'll happen, because I still like those handhelds. Like, I'm playing Pokemon Black 2 right now, and it's still really fun, but I find myself, like, you know, taking out my iPod much more on commutes and stuff
Is that worrying then that maybe these games will disappear that don't really have a place on big consoles and they don't really have a place on mobile right now? Or is it just a matter of waiting for phones to get a little bit better?
What I would love to happen is if the companies adapted their handhelds to be a little bit more like in a way to function sort of how the iOS, like not exactly like software for software. Like, I don't want to see fucking like... Well, actually, no. That's funny to mention. The 3DS does work on like this tile system
that's much
similar to...
Yeah.
So, that's interesting. So, I mean, already we're kind of seeing a shift towards that, and I hope that progresses. Because, you know, I'm not... I don't play a whole lot of handheld games, but I've been noticing that the experiences are just as good, if not sometimes worse or better than, you know, iOS stuff. So what I would like to see is, you know, handhelds looking more like mobile devices and behaving more like mobile devices. And I think
you would still see a market for handheld devices.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the next Game Boy, the next DS could still exist, rather than just Nintendo shifting to developing for phones and tablets.
I don't think Nintendo is going to make that jump. I don't. I really don't. I think they're way too stubborn to do that, and I don't.
Okay.
They're not people to... They exist in this weird bubble because they don't like innovating for other things that are going on. It's like they dig a hole and they find this buried like chunk of gold. It's like, we'll make this money off of our own like batshit idea. I mean, we as an example.
Oh yeah.
Of this batshit idea, and they create their own innovation almost, but not quite. And they don't. they like adapt to themselves, I guess, which
yeah,
I don't like. I don't really like that because I feel like that's kind of removed and not, I don't know, it's Nintendo's Nintendo.
Yeah.
It's yeah.
No, absolutely. It's they do things very strangely.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean it used to work for them a lot better. Like they would innovate and put out like the N64 and say, "Hey, everything's in 3D now."
Right.
But now it's like they're running out of ideas and like, "Hey, here's a stick you can wave around." And then, "Hey, here's a stick you can wave around at things that look better."
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't know where their future falls. I mean, you know what, they're Nintendo, they'll probably be fine, but it's things are changing.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I mean the back to the sales numbers, that happened in a quarter that included the biggest holiday of the year.
Oh.
So even with, you know,
yeah,
the whole Christmas thing, people spent more on mobile games than on handheld games.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
Sort of. Yeah, it's interesting how the market's shifting, but again, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
But you also can't wrap an app. "Hey, little Johnny, I bought you this on the Google Play Store."
I mean, I guess that's true. They don't have a gift system, I'm like.
I don't think they do.
Huh.
So it's just going to be.
You should get on that, guys.
Guys, hey, we have an idea for you.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And I hope companies sort of respond to that in a way that's just more kind of streamlined and mimics that, you know.
I think Microsoft, at least, and Sony, it looks like from their press conference, are embracing mobile.
Yeah,
starting to embrace mobile.
Yeah.
Xbox has their smart glass thing, which I've seen a little bit of.
I mean,
I don't have an Xbox.
Yeah, I don't consider Microsoft a lot. Like, I'll probably watch the press conference. I'll check out what they have going, but I don't know. I feel like the library for me just isn't there. It's not really, mm-hmm. Maybe it's not just the console for me. I mean, there's some cool stuff, but the cool stuff that's on Xbox is stuff that you can get elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Skyrim for the Xbox is the only way I can play Skyrim, which unfortunately I don't play too much of, which I should eventually.
I just started that again on PC, and now I'm going to pay attention to things that happen.
Did you
play I was just kind of messing around in the first time I started up the game. It was on my laptop, but now that I have this beautiful, wonderful PC that I've built.
Shut up. God. I mean, it's a really good PC. That's cool, though. I want to talk with you about that a little bit, just your overall feelings about Skyrim. Maybe we'll do that in a week or two or something, though,
yeah.
After you've, like, gotten knee-deep in the game, because I like it a lot. Well, that's mm-hmm. so dumb to say. Who the fuck doesn't like Skyrim? Like, who's looking at Skyrim being like, it's like, no, oh, yeah, no,
really
it's not. It's
this.
Not that good. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty widely accepted that Skyrim's a pretty good game.
It's pretty
Whoa.
Great.
Yeah, that's cool, though. But, you know, there's always these titles that come out, and most of the time they're not quite Xbox exclusive, and
Halo is over now. Like,
is it?
Well, no,
that's
a miss. No, that's
no.
wrong.
See, that was,
shut up, Mike, with your words.
That was a funny thing because I remember when people were assuming that Halo.
Bungie
was going
is
to be,
done with Halo.
Well, yes,
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, Bungie is done with Halo. I don't know how they operate now. I don't know. I don't know the inside details, but I remember Halo quote unquote ending. Right around the time that Activision acquired them, and I was just fucking laughing on my throne of game knowledge. I don't know.
Sure.
That was a stupid analogy. but that's not how Activision works. Activision milks every like dollar that they can out of like their things. Like they, you know, stuff like Tony Hawk. After they acquired that, they milked the shit out of that, and that doesn't really even exist anymore. And that's,
mm-hmm.
I mean, frankly, that's fine. Skating games had their time, and
they're
kind of done, and that's fine. But like, there's so many iterations of that, and a lot of them were kind of bad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they operate. That's how Activision does. And you know, I don't really like them as a company.
So 343 has taken the reins of Halo now, and they're doing another trilogy.
Oh, okay.
456.
Oh, 456.
I think that's what I heard.
Okay. I'm not the biggest Halo fan. I don't find anything particularly wrong with the games.
Mm-hmm.
They're just not for me.
After they stopped being on PC, I just, you know, was no longer able to play them, so I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched Let's Plays to keep up with the story.
Oh, the quote unquote story of
because that's what us poor
I played through
do.
The first three games. I don't know what the fuck's going on in those. What story? I don't remember anything that's going
on. There's Halos, man.
Yeah, whatever.
There's these space rings.
Yeah. And that's we're getting into a whole other separate thing. Where were we?
Oh, that's a wonderful question.
Yeah, the handheld thing. We can talk about that some other time. Because the thing that pees me off that I want to briefly mention, because of the Halo storyline thing, is the whole, it's like, oh, you would get it if you read the novels. Like, oh, fine, good, but this is a game, and you should be able to compress your...
I disagree. I think they did. Like, I played 1 and 2 myself, and then I sort of read about 3, and I feel like I get it, but then I think about it, and I'm like... What are all these ideas are grains of sand slipping through my fingers.
Is it kind of like the episode 1, 2, and 3 effect thing? It's like, what's really going on in the scheme of this? Did you ever think about that?
No, I've never thought about it that way. Talking about Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like to think about the prequels.
Yeah, that's fine. That's another... We can get to that some other time, too.
Yeah.
Star Wars...
Oh.
New Star Wars things. Being made. Anyways, though. Back to games. So, see, the handheld thing is done. I guess branching out from games, though, let's get to Google Glass, because
we don't have to talk about just games here, people.
That's true.
We can do whatever we want. This is our podcast. Don't you tell us what to do.
Yeah, guy.
You wanna click away from the podcast? You go right ahead.
Yeah, hit that
but
stop.
Maybe,
please don't.
Maybe tell your friends before you go.
Yeah. Sorry, don't. Please stay.
I love you. So, Google Glass.
Yeah.
Which is really hard for me to say. Google Glass.
Yeah.
There's a lot of G's.
Google Glass.
I think that's why they're just calling it Glass. Or Project Glass.
Project Glass is probably a much easier way to say it. So, okay, everyone has an inkling of this. I mean, it's a pretty big deal, and understandably so.
It's kind of weird for me. It's like, I feel like they've had 2 announcements. The first one was, we're working on this thing, and the second was, it exists and you can buy it.
Yeah.
Which is why it was kind of weird, seeing the announcement about people being able to get it and, like, seeing more about what I assume is the actual user interface and, like, people being able to get their hands on it if they, you know, use this hashtag, if I had glass. It was kind of a weird wake-up call for me, like... Oh, this is actually going to be a thing that people are going to be able to buy.
Now, do you think that that's like a weird, I don't want to say fault, but a weird like happenstance of the way that Google's just marketing it? Or
I mean, I think there's probably a lot of people who don't know about Glass, but those people aren't weird obsessive tech readers like we are.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably going to be a... Do you think there will be a bigger reveal, hopefully, sometime between now and when they actually start selling it? Or do you think that's
not
really
how they'll... It's being developed by Google's X Lab, which is also doing the self-driving cars that they're working on.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I don't feel like it's on quite the same level as self-driving cars. But
yes.
I think it's still pretty big, but I don't think it would be up there with a... Because, like, absolutely everybody uses cars.
That's true.
But I don't think absolutely
Do you think that they're
everybody...
Gonna... Do they? Is that with the intention to like sell those to people?
I think the intention is probably to create the system and license it to people who actually make cars.
Okay, well, yeah, that's a little bit. That's not so much a consumer thing, though.
Yeah.
Because like Google Glass is obviously that will be a consumer item. That's not going to be exclusive to...
Which they're saying, by the way, will be purchasable or available to consumers by the end of this year.
Yes.
For under $1,500.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that
which is pretty vague.
At the end of this year. Yeah.
A lot of numbers are under $1,500. $1,499 is one of them.
Nearly infinite. Well, wait. Never mind.
Depends. On your point of view of math.
I mean, isn't there an infinite number of like fractions technically?
Yeah.
Anyways,
negative numbers, they pay you to use it. We just both went into a fantasy world where we were paid to use Google Glass.
Yes, please. Oh God. But yeah, this is. I mean, seeing this, and my mind just kind of started wandering because there are going to be a lot of applications for this thing. And yeah. I think it's going to start small and is like, I don't know if as the price drops or as like word gets like bigger around it. Mm-hmm. I think it, I mean, depending on its popularity, it could stay up there. It could stay as an, like an exclusive, like rich people item,
yeah.
but there's a chance that it could change the way that things generally work.
So do you see it as like another iPhone, like what we saw moving out from 2007, like it creates another wave of everybody's going to be having something on their face, or is it like more of a companion to the phone you already have? Because they're not, I don't think they're quite at feature parity yet. They don't, that like you can't run all these apps on your glasses. But we don't, I don't think we really know if it's running its own thing or if it's paired to your phone.
Oh, is that?
I think it's probably paired to your phone.
Oh, is that? I didn't know that was.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Because I was, I mean, because I'm expecting for over $1,000, I'm expecting that this thing is just connected to the internet somehow all the time, like with through some 3G or 4G or something.
Oh, and there's all of that. Is it going through carriers? Is it?
Oh. That's. Yeah.
The only
obviously there's a lot of unknowns is what we're finding out by talking to each other about this.
And
yet
it will be available at the end of this year.
Yeah.
I feel like they have a lot of work to do in getting the consumer aware of exactly what this is, exactly what it will do, and where you can get it and for what.
Yeah, because Mika didn't even, because I kept mentioning Google Glass to her and she was getting on. She's like, maybe I need to like rewatch the video about this because I thought that these were kind of just like high tech glasses. I'm like, I mean, yes, but not exactly. So it's just I see this big vision about, like, because it's expensive, obviously, and I'm hoping it doesn't just fall into rich people's hands, because if, like, a lot of people have these, it's I feel like it's just going to change so many things. Like, because nothing, besides, like, head-mounted cameras, mm-hmm. Like, for mostly for extreme sports, now that I think about it, no one's really been able to capture that, like, first-person view quite the way that these have.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Like, my mind is kind of, like, short wiring because of thinking of like all the possibilities of this, like the way that people shoot videos could be completely different, the way that you capture moments will be completely different because you won't have to go get your camera, you just say hey Google, record a video, and you have like your 3-year-old son's like blowing out the candles or something, or like something really spontaneous and crazy. And I don't know, there's so much, there's so much that we don't know, but
Glass.
So much that it could
propose to my girlfriend.
No,
not as romantic.
Yeah, especially not with that voice.
Yeah. Wait, hang on, honey. Okay, Glass.
Yeah.
Again for the camera, sweetie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's sort of one of those only time will tell things, because it's got it has the potential to change how just like humans behave, and like it's sort of like transhuman thing where, you know,
it's like kind of an augment.
Yes. It. Yeah.
To me though, it seems like more of a companion to the device you already have. And it's more for, like, those things where you have that feeling, God, I just want to do this thing. I should be able to do this as a human who knows what the internet is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it will, you know, there will be that other thing that you actually take your device out for.
Okay. Because
these will be the things that you don't want to have to go grab something for, like getting directions or taking a picture.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sending a text. People want to think thoughts to their friends, and that's the next step.
Oh, God, you're right. Oh, that's going to be weird. We're not that far away from that.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh, woof. Future.
What is future?
Yeah.
Imagine how it's touched the sky.
I feel almost like last week was just a lot of technology shock.
There was a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
Whew. Cool. Yeah, but... Yeah, Google Glass, the thing, and probably pretty exciting.
Yeah. There was a great video by The Verge.
I saw that. I had a buddy show that to me.
The editor-in-chief, Joshua Topolsky, he went out to Google, and they gave him a pair.
I was enthralled watching.
It was really cool.
It was really good.
Just they talk a little bit about, and they show the progression of what the project originally looked like on these people's faces.
It's like this big old...
Yeah.
Head mount, like with all these wires coming out and stuff.
Yeah. Go watch that.
Yeah.
We'll maybe link to it somehow.
Yeah, I think that can happen. We'll see. I don't know how Podbean does their stuff. We'll see. We'll figure it out. Game announcements.
Yeah.
I don't know if you are quite excited. There were two big ones within the last week. The first being Legend of Grimrock 2, Woo. Which I know you own and will probably get back to.
I own the first one.
Yes, you do. You own the second
one. I don't have connections then.
No, you... But yeah, I'm really excited about that. And they were talking about how they were originally doing, like, they were trying to work on a DLC for the first one.
And that turned into...
snowballed into... They said it didn't feel right, which, you know what, I'm totally cool with. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's... Honestly, there's enough user-made... They made, like, a map and dungeon editor, and there's enough user-based stuff in their forums to where, I mean, big deal. Like, there's still content there. People want to look for it, and I'm sure that there are some really well-made maps. That's some really cool stuff in the forums. Like, when I was...
Steam Workshop, right?
Or is
that not connected to that?
I don't know. I think it might be Steam Workshop. The thing is, I don't own it through Steam. I got through Good Old Games before I found out that it was going to be on Steam, unfortunately. So, I'm sure there is some Workshop stuff, but... I mean, it's also just, like, through their forums. Their forums are really dedicated, too. So that's pretty cool. Excited. I don't know if they announced when it would come out. I don't think they have given that much detail, but, yeah.
It is Workshop, I can confirm.
Cool, yeah. Cool.
Opening the Steam client as I turn away from the mic.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's cool, though. I hope that they... improve on it, obviously. There were, I don't want to talk about this now because I want to get your full opinion, and maybe we'll talk about it later if you finish it, but there were some things I thought could be improved upon, but overall, the feel of that game, it hit really good, and it's cool to see. It's cool to see that it made enough money to where they can confidently say that there's going to be a Legend of Grimrock 2, and that's especially cool for an indie dev. So
I haven't made it that far into that game, but I'm definitely liking it so far. It is
easy to get stuck. It is very... puzzly.
I'm just clicking the walls. Like a crazy person.
Yeah, I think anyone who's played Grimrock has been there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. In addition to that, there was also not so much a reveal, kind of, a little bit. Teammate's been working on eugenics, and they've been sort of drip feeding us what it's about. Every Saturday.
I'm trying to make a cat joke with drip feeding, and it's not coming.
That's probably good.
Yeah.
Okay. they actually revealed what the game is going to be about this Saturday, and I was really excited because in the second paragraph they say, it's kind of like, let me see if I can remember them all, it's kind of like Pokemon, Animal Crossing, Tamagotchi, and one more...
There was something else.
Sims. Yeah, so I...
Which is a really interesting mix of things.
It is.
That could really work well together.
Yes. And they pretty much revealed that it's a crazy cat lady sim.
Yeah, so...
And you can... I guess you can... enter, like, your cats can get into street fights, and you can breed them for special qualities, and you can make them go to pageants and stuff. And there's, like, outer world interaction. You can read the post on his blog. It describes it much better than me, and you can catch up on it if you want. But, Team Meat making another... I don't think they've made a game since Super Meat Boy. So...
Yeah, exciting.
Super excited. Yeah, and it will be out sometime this year. But it's, it's nice seeing, again, another story of, an indie dev, making enough money to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rise of the indies, man.
Yeah.
These past few years. It's been good.
Yeah. what else do we got? Let's see.
There's some Kickstarter stuff. Kickstarter has just really gotten into the games industry lately.
Yeah.
It all sort of kicked off with Double Fine saying, people want us to make a game and we can't, so give us money. And then they did.
That was pretty much it. And I think they're working on that. No. They're almost...
I thought it was out.
See, I thought it was out too. I found this out the other day. The Cave is not...
It's not The Cave.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's not The Cave. It's... Yeah, it's something different.
That makes me feel a little better, because The Cave got mixed reviews.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that either. I hadn't looked into it too far, because, I mean, honestly, I don't really dig adventure games. They're just not my bag. But, I mean, it's cool that they're doing that. But, yeah, I thought it was The Cave too. It is not. Because through another podcast, there were a bunch of people being like, where's my code, for, donating this money? And they're like, it's not out yet. The Cave isn't it.
Huh.
So, yeah, no, I thought that too, though.
They were maybe not very clear on that.
Yes. Maybe there could have been an email sent.
Yeah. Hey, we're also making this other game that's going to come out in between the times.
Yeah, totally not the one that you donated money for.
I did not.
a lot of cool games on Kickstarter, though. I can hardly remember any of them, but there are, through both that and the Steam Workshop.
Oh, right.
I think it's going to be a pretty good year for indie games.
Oh, yeah.
Again.
Definitely. There was one that one of my birthday presents was a donation to an indie game on Kickstarter called Cryamore, which looks really good. The devs are actually here in Chicago. So I was like, I'm going to help these dudes.
Yeah, out. I haven't checked. You played some of the music.
I showed it. Yeah. It looks really good. Sort of action adventure, top down kind of thing.
Cool.
And just the overworld music is what made me want to buy it. Just that.
Very cool. Yeah, it breaks my heart because like there was some posts here and there about like here are the indie games that you should probably look out for like in the next coming year.
Yeah.
And a lot of them had Kickstarter pages, and I don't have the money to donate to them. And I really like these games, but I think I might just wait it out and like wait till you know maybe the reviews are out for them because like there are a lot of good looking indie games. Like they can't all be good, unfortunately.
Right.
If they were, that'd be great. But I think I'll just wait and sort of spend my money wisely, I guess, when I actually get some.
Right.
Yeah.
Having money is important to games.
Yeah, the thing is I can't remember which ones were Steam Workshop ones and which ones were just...
I just saw a really interesting looking adventure game on Greenlight.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was called. It was really, really cool and atmospheric looking. Way to narrow it down. You know what? I will look for it.
Okay. Maybe. Okay. Yeah, just do that. Whatever. Do it now. Yeah, but like the line between what's on Greenlight and what's on Kickstarter is kind of blurred for me. Because like some are on Kickstarter and also have a Greenlight, I think.
Is that... Yeah, I think you're right. Because Greenlight isn't like... give us money for this. It's just, should it be allowed on Steam?
Right.
And Kickstarter is, where they crowdfund.
Yes.
So the game is called Kentucky Route Zero.
Ah.
It drew me in with its nice title. the graphic design was really cool.
So what is it sort of...
Also the music is playing. It's a magical realist adventure about a secret highway, like in these underground caves in Kentucky. And it's going to come out in 5 episodes, apparently. So you can buy a season pass now, and then you will get the episodes as they come out.
Gotcha.
Which cool. was like how Telltale released Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do remember that.
Some games that I forgot that I owned.
Oh, you own those?
Yeah.
Oh.
Totally forgot about them.
I heard that they were pretty good.
Yeah, they were. And then I stopped playing them for some reason.
I'm
the worst.
Whatever. No, well, I if I could list off the games that I just have sitting in... I mean, because I started, like, Stacking. I started Dragon Age, both very good, and just, I haven't finished them
yet.
I started Braid, didn't finish that.
I think that's the case for a lot of people.
Yeah, I got it. I got to organize my shit. I got to make a list of, like, ones, like, probably not going to finish, but started and should finish and started. So, yeah, I got to... gotta organize that. But yeah.
I made a list of games in my notebook, and I was like, these are the games that I'm gonna play and finish this year. And then all that the list did was grow.
Oh.
It didn't get shaved down at all. I just bought more games.
David made a list at the beginning of our buddy David, who he eats, sleeps, and dreams video games.
Yes.
Really creative dude. Maybe we'll get him on the podcast sometime.
Yeah.
Whatever, though. But... I think he made a list at the beginning of the year, and his estimate was between 70 and 80 games that he wanted to beat, like, for the whole course of 2013.
Yeah.
Which, you know what? He might be able to do.
Sure, yeah. He pretty much only plays video games. That's...
Yeah.
From my understanding.
Yeah, when he's not... doing video games, he's doing some other crazy creative stuff. He does like duct tape posters, and he makes all kinds of. He really crafty dude. Maybe we'll get some of his stuff up on the blog.
Like that
hopefully, that'd be nice.
That would be a cool feature to do.
Yes,
like video game art or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome.
Let's see what other indie games. So there's one other. Let me. I have a list on my laptop real quick. Let me check these real quick.
Yeah. And there was like, was that Destructoid that did the list of indie games that are coming out soon?
Yep.
There was one that looked a lot like Wind Waker.
Yeah.
It was like cel-shaded and
that
looked really cool.
That one's been, I remember seeing that a few months ago too. It's like like a hat in time or something. Mm-hmm. It's going to have some mechanic where, like, some time travel-y stuff, and I think it's sort of like a... I don't know if you ever saw any gameplay for, like, PB Winterbottom at all.
Yeah.
I think it's, like, kind of like that, but in 3D and with more, like, story stuff, but I haven't seen, like, really solid evidence for the gameplay.
No, yet. Yeah, it was just kind of running around in the world.
I mean, it looks pretty, though.
Yeah, so definitely.
Let me see. Okay, so I got my list pulled up now. Among the Sleep, which isn't on Kickstarter. I don't think it's on Greenlight, but it's... Have you watched the video for that at all?
Yes, and then I cried in my bed.
Yeah, that's... I feel like that's one that's like, yeah, like, that's a game that's out there. Probably won't get it, because I can't play that.
Nope.
It's like, you know, I haven't even finished Amnesia. Or I don't think... Have you?
No. Oh, yeah. God, no.
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about Amnesia.
No, let's... All right, moving on. what else is there... there's two of them that I can't really differentiate too much. There's Legend of Dungeon, which I think is a slightly 3D-ish dungeon crawling game that somehow incorporates musical elements, I remember. Like, depending on what you do and how you, like, step and how you move and how you play, I guess the music changes. I don't know how big of a feature that is, but... Yeah, that's a thing. And then there's one that's even more exciting, and that's Hammerwatch, which pretty much looks like a new version of Gauntlet. Up to four players, there's puzzles in there, there's loot, and...
Nice.
Like, you know, you got your tank and your wizard, your archer and your thief, and that just looks like a lot of fucking fun. So,
I'm
excited for that one. Then there's Owlboy, which might not come out, because I... It's you watch the trailer. You can find out like a list of these on Destructoid too. I think it's like the 30 most anticipated indie games of 2013. If you want to check it out, they all have like links to their like Kickstarters here and there and like trailers and stuff. It's a really good list. That's where I'm picking most of these games from. But yeah, it's funny because like you look at Owlboy and it's like this nice like SNES sprite looking game that's a side scrolling. It looks gorgeous and so endearing and heartfelt and nice. And then it gets to the end of the trailer and it's like, yeah, coming in 2011, and then your heart just disintegrates.
Those are indie games now.
Yeah.
You don't know whether they will exist.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess it's kind of the nature of the beast.
That's why Kickstarter's so nice, though.
Yes.
It's like you can have that, at least I helped, if it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And you'll know if it's not going to happen then.
Mm-hmm. That's mostly the only ones that I have worth mentioning. I have a few other ones, but I can't really give a whole lot of details on them. They're ones that look cool. Ones I'm looking forward to, let's see, I'll just name it down real quick. I already mentioned Legend of Dungeon, Hammerwatch, Among the Sleep, oh boy. Sports Friends, which looks pretty cool. That might be something worth talking about once it, like, gets closer to coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Super Time Force, Iconoclast, Tower Climb, and this isn't really... I mean, it is technically an indie game, I guess, but it's the Binding of Isaac Rebirth that I'm looking forward to a lot. Hopefully coming out this year. No idea, but that's being worked on, and local multiplayer, and, you know, more... I don't know if they're doing, like, more SNES or GBA sprites for it in terms of the style. I think it's some hybrid, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, looks really nice. Really excited.
I look forward to going insane.
Yes, that's essentially what that game will do.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Oh, well, while we're on the subject of indie games sort of happening, Ouya.
Oh, yeah.
Is a platform that is going to exist soon.
Is now any idea as to when that's kind of coming out? Or
I should know, but I don't.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people are developing for it.
Cool.
I read something like 481 titles currently
in
the library.
Now, how recent have those articles been? Because, like, for me, Ouya was the thing that, like, got kickstarted and got funded a lot and, like,
really
excited. But now it fell out of... Like some of the, at least.
I think they were at CES.
Okay. All right.
God, I don't know when it's coming out. I mean, I know it's like made and stuff.
Well, I mean, that'll be a good subject for when it gets closer to it coming out and stuff. Maybe it'll be at E3. Who knows? That would be kind of cool.
That would be really cool to have like a new console sort of break in.
Yeah, I wonder. That'll
that is $99.
Yeah. I'm there's a lot of people on both sides. There's a lot of skeptics, and there are a lot of people who are really pretty excited about developing for it, and developers who are, you know, developing for it. So
yeah,
that'll be super, super interesting.
Well, it's shipping soon, early 2013.
Oh,
is all they will say. But
hmm.
I just saw they did something with the controller. Like they changed something that people didn't like.
Really? So I thought, like, before they were kind of mostly going off of the Xbox design, which is fine. Like, I like...
It doesn't really look a whole lot like...
Really?
The Xbox, yeah.
Oh.
It's more, it's like, wider. Like, the handles are sort of going...
describe it to us.
Yeah. The handles arc out at a 30-degree angle. I mean, it's very flat, whereas the Xbox 360 isn't.
Mm.
At least that was my impression of it. It looked flat.
Okay. The controller, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll have to check that out. I'm really interested in controller designs, because, like, by far, I think, like, while PS3 isn't bad, I feel like the most comfortable controller to hold in anyone's hand is the Xbox 360 controller, hands down. Like, I'm not big up for the Microsoft as a company or even Xbox as a console,
mm-hmm.
but there's nothing more comfortable right now than that controller, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I mean... I've got some friends that like swear by the PS3 controller, and I don't know. I guess it's a preference thing, but
yeah.
I think it feels better.
I like the thing they do with the thumbsticks where it's concave rather
than
convex.
Yeah,
that's very nice. Because I have a Logitech controller that I use for PC games, and it's convex, and my thumbs are like sliding all over the place.
Yeah, I don't understand that design.
Yeah, it's sometimes I just get a little bit frustrated with it.
Okay. Well, I think we should wrap up since I think we're at like a minute 15 or a minute 20. I don't know how that's going to go after editing, but...
Cool.
Yeah. So, plugs. So, you, my friend, are pretty big on the YouTubes.
I'm moderately not small on the YouTubes, is I guess what I would say about that.
So where can people find your stuff?
People can find my stuff at youtube.com/vloganegan. That is the name of my channel, is Vloganegan. I have other channels that will hopefully pick up with more content soon.
Mm.
Maybe I'll talk about them as content appears.
Mm. And you can, if you want, you can follow him on Twitter at Egan. It's Egan Works, right?
Yes.
Egan Works, no space. And me at Zach. At Zach Bruin. I don't really have any other things. I've got a Twitter. I mean, and again, you can always, you know, we're going to be making content for the blog that we are going to be putting up called the First Person Blog Simulator.
Which is probably where you will see this.
Yeah, that's probably where you'll see this. And we'll, after a couple of episodes, we'll probably get up on iTunes.
All right.
I don't think there's...
See, this is the awkward episode where we don't know what we're doing, so...
Yeah, hopefully. I think it went pretty well for the most
part. Well, I mean, you just talk about stuff. So.
Yeah. Maybe I should edit this part out.
Maybe.
Okay.
The parts where we whisper are what we edit out. It's an all-whisper podcast.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's really anything else. No. But our first-person blog simulator, and that is at wordpress.com.
Right.
If we have any listeners who want to send us any mail, you can... send us letters and stuff, questions or general like opinions at fpbsim@gmail.com. Okay, and that will do it for us this week. Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you in a week or two or three. Bye.
Game on.